Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to Inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on the sportsvirus.com and now on KNBR.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Toscalito Tire and Automotive, with four Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco, and Vallejo. Toscalito, more than just a tire store. We're also brought to you by Rita's of Hayward, serving Italian ice and frozen custard. Today we have two guests from AT&T Park in San Francisco. First, from the Giants clubhouse, second baseman Joe Panik, and then we'll hear from Carl Stewart, columnist with the Bay Area News Group. We'll start with Joe Panik. Joe, first off, talk about facing a former teammate like that and Ryan Vogelsong, very popular guy here. What kind of emotions do you think there were, not only for you, but your teammates facing him?
When you're stepping that box, it doesn't matter who's on that mound. You're competing. You're not even thinking about anything other than executing your plan. You kind of appreciate, the fact, everything that he's done for, for this organization and whatnot. And it was great to see the ovation he got and, him to be acknowledged when he took the mound, then when he came off the mound. So that's when you kind of take that step back. But when you're out there on that field, you're competing.
How do you approach it as far as a guy that's been in your clubhouse? You can look at video, but you've actually seen him pitch a lot. So when you look at a scouting report, is there a little more to it because of the fact that, you're real familiar with what he throws?
You always look at scouting reports on everybody because what he threw last year and the year before might be different from this year. So it could always change. But when you've seen, play behind somebody, you kind of know what they're trying to do and what they're trying to do, certain counts and how they attack players. But no matter what, he's a competitor out there, and he did a very good job last night.
Let's talk about you and the ball club. First of all, as far as you're concerned, do you feel like you're now breaking out a little bit, starting to swing the bat better? What was going on, do you think, when you first came back to the club as opposed to now? Do you feel a little more locked in?
I wasn't feeling good back then, and I feel good now. That's how this game goes. You're not always going to be feeling good when you're playing this game. Things are starting to get going again. When I came back from the concussion, I had a quick rehab. Looking back, you kind of wish you could have gotten out of it quicker. It is what it is.
It's got to be hard to get your timing down at the major league level, no matter how long you spend on rehab. Is that the toughest thing about coming back?
Yeah, timing, your body, you have to get your body in baseball shape again. There's a lot of different factors to it. You're not just going out there and playing, you're not just going out there and, all right, well, here you go. There's a lot that goes into it.
No, it wasn't so much about, striking out. It seemed to me like sometimes there'd be a pitch where you normally would hit a line drive and you might fly out on it. Was it one of those things, just kind of a fraction of an inch sometimes that, makes all the difference?
Yeah, but also too. You go back and look at video. Compared to now when I'm, getting some hits, and back then when I wasn't. I was lining out a few times. More than a few times. Whereas now I'm, ground balls are finding holes. So, people look at results. Whereas as a hitter, you have to look at, what am I doing? And, this game, you don't always get rewarded for hitting the ball well, so you just have to take it for what it is.
Yeah, you look at the McCutchen play that he made on Nunez. It could be a totally different ball game in yesterday's game. So how does a team take that, especially when you guys are going through a dry spell right now as a team? How do you not get frustrated as a team and as an individual in those situations?
You do everything right. You guy made a good play on you, so, you have every right to be upset and mad because, as a competitor, you want to get that hit. And as for the dry spell, we're still in first place. There's a lot more panic on the outside than in this clubhouse.
One of the things that we notice about you is being on an even keel, but everybody has the certain emotions. So how do you like to go about it? Does it help you a lot if you don't get frustrated, if you don't show emotion, or do you sometimes have to let that out?
Everybody has their own ways of coping with things. I'm a very emotional player. People just don't see it. I hold it in. I hide it in certain ways, and But I care, I give a damn, and you know what? It's just because you might show that you're even keel doesn't mean that you don't care. Everybody goes about their business different ways.
You and Hunter Pence kind of came back at the same time. I mean, do you kind of look at him and say, okay, you know, we're going through this at the same time. If you guys get it going at the same time, you know, you're counted on so much in the lineup.
No, I don't even look at it like that. I'm concerned about, you know, myself and what I got to do. And, you know, with him, you know, he's, you know, concerned with what he's got to do. And, you know, we're all links in a chain. As long as we do our job, you know, we have faith and trust in each other to do their job.
And how about approach as far as being a different spot in the lineup as opposed to being number two? Do you change anything? Is there anything, you know, that you're noticing being pitched to in a spot that's, you know, different than number two down in the order?
I try not to change my approach. You know, I try to keep everything, you know, swing the same. I'm not trying to do anything more, anything less. You know, I mean, there will be times with runners in scoring position, runners on base, with the pitcher hitting behind you, there's going to be, you know, times where they try to pitch around you or they try to make pitchers' pitches and try to get you to chase after them. So that's something you have to kind of learn and watch out for. But at the same time, you have to stick to what you do best.
For you guys, too, defense is so important. So tell us about coming back from the concussion. You worked a lot on your hitting, but what about the defensive part of it? How does that you know, translate when you come back? Is that also a thing where it takes a little time to get your rhythm going?
Yeah, I mean, with everything, like I said, this game's not just, you know, it's not cut and dry. There's a lot that goes into it, and you have to get your legs back under you. There's a lot that goes into that first step, you know, being able to get reads off the bat, you know, and just seeing the ball again. It's when you're coming back from a concussion, it's not like, all right, boom, you're good. It's, you know, it takes some time.
I was going to say, how tricky was it? Did you talk to some other guys, I mean, like a Brandon Belt, who had to go through it? Because, and everybody's different with it, but it's one of those things where it really can be tricky.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to him, and you know, he said that, you know, there's certain things that it takes, you know, it takes a little while to come back and come back to normal. So, you know, I kind of went through the same thing, and like I said, now I'm starting to feel good again.
It seemed like the one thing you didn't want to have were a lot of pop-ups early on when you're coming back, but that's what you were getting. Was that a good test, though, in a way, that you're getting these big, high pop-ups with some wind and the sun and all that testing you to come back?
Yeah. I mean, it's part of the game. So, I mean, it's one way or the other. It's, you know, it is what it is.
All right, Joe. Hey, thanks a lot for the time. Appreciate it, and good luck.
Yep, of course.
That's Giants second baseman Joe Panik. Coming up, we're going to hear from Bay Area News Group columnist Carl Stewart right after this. We all know the Giants season has fluctuated between being very hot and, well, just after the All-Star break, cold. At least they're not boring. So what about your dessert experience lately? Same old, same old? How about trying a unique, refreshing, frozen dessert from Rita's Ice of Hayward? Rita's is sure to please everyone, offering sugar-free, dairy-free, and all-natural treats. Over 70 flavors of Italian ice to choose from, and 8 flavors of their award-winning frozen custard. The combinations are endless. And this is a cold experience Giants fans can embrace. When you stop by Rita's Ice of Hayward at 26775 Hayward Boulevard, be sure to mention the Sports Virus and you'll receive one free regular size Italian ice with a purchase. Rita's Ice of Hayward, Italian ice and frozen custard. Now let's get to the conversation with Bay Area News Group columnist Carl Stewart. Carl, the Giants are barely hanging on to first place as we sit here on a Tuesday. And, you know, it's pretty amazing because the Dodgers, they don't have Kershaw, yet they're, you know, picking up a little ground here and there because the Giants are just not playing well, being 9-19 at this point since the All-Star break. So do you see them breaking out of this funk anytime soon?
Well, you would hope so. I mean, all the pieces are there. I mean, they're healthy again. I mean, they've made all the trades that they wanted to make. I mean, they know what their roster is going to be down the stretch for the most part. I mean, you might have a wrinkle here and there, but for the most part, this is a team that's got to get it done. So, you know, Samardzija pitched pretty well on his last outing. Obviously, Cueto pitched very well, as did Bumgarner in their last outing. So, I mean, in the first half, what they were doing, a lot, they were winning on the Bumgarner and Cueto days, and then they would pick up a third and maybe fourth win with the other three guys. And I think they need to get back to that pattern, because if you win with those two guys and then another guy, you're playing 600 ball. So, and part of it is you just can't seem to put all the elements of the game together. I mean, one night they'll get hitting and the pitching falters. If they'll get good starting effort and then the bullpen will falter, or they'll get a good pitching effort and the hitting won't be there. It's just like they're out of sync. in all three aspects of the game, and you would hope that that's going to kick in at some point.
We'll continue the conversation with Carl Stewart from the Bay Area News Group in just a moment.
You have to admit, collecting World Series titles is a new trend for the Giants, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at six Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With four Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
Well, you can imagine how frustrating it can be for the players. And, I mean, they're not showing it that much. There's a lot of guys who are even keel. But in talking to Joe Panic, you know, today for this podcast, he was saying that, you know, he is emotional. He may not show it all the time, but it does come out that he does care so much that it bothers you. So how much do you think it's eating at this team, knowing that, you know, they were the best team in baseball before the All-Star break, and now they look like one of the worst, just the record, you know, and the way things have been going?
Right. Well, they've given a lot back. I mean, to be eight up right before the first half, and, you know, they couldn't have ended the first half much better with Bumgarner throwing a one-hitter with 14 strikeouts. And then, you know, those 5 days off, for some reason, just changed the team somehow. You wonder if the All-Star break may be too long. I mean, Belt had been hitting so well, and he comes back and goes in a terrible funk. But they're also playing a little tougher schedule. I mean, they came off out of the break and went immediately onto the road, a tough road trip. And, you know, they faced some hot hitters. I mean, they caught Jay Bruce, and when he was just incredibly hot, I mean, it seemed they're going to catch him this weekend because he got traded to the Mets. So now they got to face him again here. So, but, you know, I think what we're going to see the real Giants and the real Dodgers when they play each other. I mean, it's hard to imagine that they're going to be, you know, more than one or two games apart when they meet next week. I mean, and I think that's going to settle a lot of question marks for both teams, because, you know, the Dodgers are going through some of the same issues. I mean, they've struggled with their rotation all year. You know, Puig is obviously in the minor leagues. They made a, you know, good pickup, I think, with Josh Reddick, you know, who I, you know, has been a staple in Oakland for 3 or 4 years, and you know that they're still trying to put that rotation together. I like the Giants' rotation better now, even though a lot of their guys have struggled.
One guy that they added to that rotation is Matt Moore. What do you think of him so far? I mean, he's definitely, it seems to be a little more amped up because he's with a new team. I mean, he's had some walks. He's got a great arm. He's got a great curveball and fastball. But, you know, he's not dominating so far. Like, maybe some people thought he'd be a little bit better.
Right. Well, he's changing leagues. And I asked Bochy this question before the game. I mean, you're going from Tampa, where you're playing in front of, you know, 10,000 fans, and there's no livelihood at all in the stadium, and it's a terrible stadium. And then you come out here, and it's just, I mean, it's just pulsating, you know. And you know, he's facing Vogelsong, and everybody's emotional. And, you know, it had to be weird for him a little bit last night to see the opposing pitcher get a standing ovation. He's making his debut at AT&T Park, and, you know, I didn't really take into account what kind of ovation he got, but it wasn't like Vogelsong's. But, you know, he didn't allow a hit through the first three innings last night. And I think he gave up two straight walks or two outs in the third or second. But, yeah, it's too early to tell, I think. I think he's making an adjustment to this team. It's got to be difficult. You're coming clear across country. You're in a new division. You know, you're facing hitters you're not familiar with. You know, he's been an American League East guy his entire career. So I would expect that we'll see better efforts from him. And he hasn't been bad. He just had a couple issues of giving up the home run last night. I mean, I was a little surprised that they even faced Polanco last night with the pitcher coming up next. I thought that they might pitch around him and just go after the pitcher, which they probably should have done.
Yeah. Well, so you know, we're looking at a rotation that hopefully is more stabilized with him in there. And like you said, Samardzija pitching better. Everything seems to be going well. But the bullpen, there's been an ebb and flow to it. I mean, recently they had a really nice run where it looked like, okay, you know, things are pretty good. But they blew that 7-1 lead, and everybody had a hand in that, it seemed like, in that game against Baltimore. And you just wonder about finishing games. I mean, Casilla, they definitely still have enough confidence in him that they haven't made a change there. What do you think about the overall structure of the pen and whether or not there might be some changes as far as roles?
I think it's a little late to make changes. I mean, you know, you've got, you know, Osich in the minor leagues. He'll be back at some point. Corey Guerin, you would think, will be back. I mean, both of those guys will be here on September 1st. And I think that might help a little bit having some of those guys who are on rehab assignments back in the bullpen. You could have Joe Nathan playing a part in that at some point if he's got anything left at 41. I mean, the Giants, I don't think he would come back as a closer, but I think he could certainly help based on his experience if he's, you know, if he's still got something left in that arm. And I think the difficulty is that, you know, other than Derek Law, who's pitched pretty fabulously for the last month and a half, Bochy doesn't quite know what he's going to get when he puts a guy out there. I mean, Strickland will have a great outing, and then he'll come back and, you know, I thought Strickland was the guy who kind of opened the door the other day more so than, you know, obviously Casillo gave up the game-winning homer, but I think Strickland kind of opened the door for that comeback. But he's been very good, and Casilla had not given up a run in, I think, 15 out of 16 outings. So, you know, at some point they're going to have to get that consistency, and maybe that will never come. But I think the bullpen's in a little better shape now that Law has evolved into a seventh, eighth inning guy. It would be great to see Sergio Romo, you know, kind of regain his form and at least be able to be that stopper against tough right-handers. And Casilla, I think, you just gonna have to live with the results unless, you know, some miracle happens and they decide, you know, Joe Nathan comes up and he's, hey, I've still got closer stuff. But I think Casilla's gonna be the guy. I mean, you know, he's still got electric stuff. I mean, he may not throw 97 anymore, but he's throwing 95. He's developed this really good curveball that when it's on, he's, you know, he's very difficult to hit. I mean, it's always been, kind of been the same situation with the Casilla. If you throw, like Kruko always says, if he throws a first strike, he's going to have a good outing. You know, if a guy gets on base, it's going to be a struggle. So we'll just have to see how it goes with those guys. I mean, that's a chapter waiting to be written with the bullpen.
More with Bay Area News Group columnist Carl Stewart right after this.
Hey, how'd you get those cool new shirts for the trade show so fast?
Access!
Who makes all that great clothing for high schools and colleges?
Access!
How do I get my company logo embroidered on some nice polo shirts?
Access Uniforms is your go-to resource for customized clothing. Just call us to find the right product, email your artwork, and your order will be on its way directly from our factory right here in Burlingame. Call Access Uniforms at 877-755-LOGO. That's 877-755-L-O-G-O.
You know, some people think Denard Span hasn't done a great job as a leadoff guy. I mean, he's normally a guy who hits around 300. He's not been there. He's come on a little bit of late. He's had some big hits. Hit a home run the other day. Had that, you know, four RBI game recently. So I don't know that you change that, but what do you see as far as the leadoff spot and what Span offers and just that Bochy has stuck with him this time this long? I mean, they did get him to be the leadoff hitter.
Yeah. Well, he's been the leadoff hitter all year, and I think, you know, you don't want to – I'm not sure where you bat him if he doesn't bat leadoff. I mean, you probably have to drop him all the way to eighth or maybe move him to second, but he's not really your prototype number two hitter. I mean, he's been a leadoff hitter his entire career. I mean, theoretically, I guess you could hit him ninth and go back to that eighth type of deal, but I don't think Bochy's inclined to do that. I mean, the only swap you would make at this point would be putting Pagan in the leadoff spot. You know, just flopping those two guys because Pagan's been really good, and then maybe moving Panic up to number two. But I just think it's classic Bochy. He believes in this guy and is eventually going to come around and deliver for the, you know, for this team. And like you say, he hasn't been horrible. He just hasn't maybe lived up to the expectations I think a lot of people had for him. You know, a 200 potential 200 hit guy, a guy who could have like 360, 370 on base and steal some bases, which he hasn't really done that much of. I think he's been really good in center field for the most part and upgraded them defensively there. I mean, I think that's kind of been overlooked with Span, and I think he's been fine. I think, you know, I was here the game the other night where he got a couple two out big singles for the game they won on this homestand, and they just need to see a little bit more of that. Obviously, the guy's got the skill.
Yeah, I agree with you about him in center field. To finish up, how about Eduardo Nunez? You know, I definitely miss Matt Duffy, not only in the clubhouse, but I think he's a good ball player. Although Nunez brings a lot of different aspects to the table here, skills, and his speed for one thing. He looks like a track star out there, and he's starting to make some really good plays defensively.
Right. That's the plays he made last night showed me something. I mean, because I thought he might be a liability at third. That's what everything he said. He's kind of had kind of a weak glove in Minnesota, but he was also playing a lot of shortstop. Third base, he might be able to settle in a little better. And like Bruce has said, you got Crawford at short. You don't need to be covering a whole lot of territory. You just have to be covering the line and your area. And I think that's why the Giants have been able to succeed with a lot of guys, including Duffy, at third base, trying a lot of different guys. Because Crawford is so good at short, they don't have to cover as much ground. Like you say, I mean, his speed is incredible. He's the fastest guy on the team. I mean, I'll be interested to see him line one into the triples alley because I think, you know, if he gets one out there, that could be an inside-the-park home run with his speed. I mean, Giants haven't had a regular who could run like that maybe since Pagan first got here. I mean, Pagan had great speed when he got here. I think he looks okay. He needs to straighten out his hitting a little bit, but, you know, he had a good night last night, so we'll see how it goes.
All right, Carl. Hey, thanks a lot for the time. Enjoy this homestand.
All right, thanks a lot for having me, Joe.
That's Carl Stewart, columnist with the Bay Area News Group. Want to thank him and Giants second baseman Joe Panik for joining us today from AT&T Park. We'll be back again on Friday with two special guests. We'll have Ron Wotus, the bench coach of the Giants, and a big Giants fan, Chris Berman from ESPN, will be our guest as well here on the Sports Virus. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com and KNBR.com.